Well, our family loves to travel. And I believe that I inherited this from my parents and my grandparents, who didn't have much, but they did travel when they could. And it was 50 years ago this month that I went on my first road trip with my family. And we were living in Manitoba, and we drove out to BC here, and we went back through the northern states. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to drive through parts of all 10 Canadian provinces and through all the United States that you can drive to. But I find that when we drive somewhere, we're often tempted to take the easiest and fastest road. If you were planning on driving to Vancouver from here, chances are you would choose to drive to Kamloops and then take the Coquihalla and take the highway all the way to Vancouver, because it's the fastest and the easiest road, rather than driving through the Fraser Canyon, or rather than driving down through the Okanagan and from Penticton down through Carameas and Princeton and so on. Now, sometimes we might do that, but chances are we take the fastest and easiest road. I remember one year we went to Vancouver Island as we were living in the Okanagan. And after we had visited the island, we came back from Nanaimo to Horseshoe Bay. And we decided that time that we were going to not take the fastest and easiest road, but we decided to go up through Whistler and then through Pemberton and make our way back. And we were so glad we chose that road, even though it was slower and the road was winding. But it was beautiful. We loved it. It was so worthwhile. And back in, I think it was about 1980, 79, 80, we were living in Abbotsford at the time. And the church that we were a part of, the men decided to have a father-son four-wheel drive weekend. And so we had ended up having 17 4x4s. And we headed up from Abbotsford to Princeton, and then we found a way where there was logging roads through and wanted to make our way down there through to Boston Bar to see how we could get there. And again, it was not the fastest and easiest road, and it was pretty difficult. We had to change road a few times, but it was so worthwhile to take a different road. But I wonder how many times we choose roads in life because they are easier. And I wonder how much beauty and reward do we miss because we choose not to take the more difficult roads. Our Bible text for this morning talks about a choice of roads that we can take. And our text is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 23. So if you have your Bible, if you want to get it out to follow along and read along as we go through this morning. And this Bible passage, Jesus speaks of two gates and two roads in life. And we need to choose one or the other. Now this morning we come to the final message in our series we've entitled Radical Kingdom, ending up in this part of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been working through the Gospel of Matthew, which we began with the birth of Jesus and then the beginning of Jesus' ministry here on earth, and where he would frequently talk about the kingdom of heaven. And his very first message that's recorded here, where he is saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Then in Matthew chapter 5, it says Jesus went up on the hillside, on the mountainside. He sat down and he began to teach. And this is what we commonly know as the Sermon on the Mount. It is a call to life in the kingdom of heaven, this radical kingdom that Jesus introduced. Walking the way of Jesus. Walking the way of the cross. And it is a very different way than the way of the world. His radical kingdom. And we have to choose. We have to make a choice. Will we follow the way of the world, or will we follow the way of Jesus' radical kingdom, the kingdom of heaven? Now, to start with, we have to, in fact, first choose, will we begin that journey? Let's read Matthew 7, verses 13 through 23. Jesus is teaching, and he said, "Enter through the narrow gate, For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. In this passage, we find two gates and two roads that are laid out before us. And what a contrast between the two. And so we find, first of all, in verse 13, where there are two gates, the wide gate and the small gate, or the narrow gate. And so Jesus is talking about the picture of a walled city. And a walled city, which Jerusalem was a walled city. And so in the city, which was there to protect against those who would try to invade and to destroy the city. And so these city would have gates that would be open for them to go out during the day. And so you would have to choose which gate you would go through to go where you wanted to go down the road, which would lead to the regions beyond. And you would have to choose which you would take. So what are the gates that Jesus is talking about? What are these gates? Well, I believe the gates that Jesus is talking about are the points in our lives when we have to make a choice. We have to make a decision that affects our future, which takes us to life beyond the here and now. For example, you might be a young adult, and you may be dating someone as a young adult. And somewhere along the way, you will probably need to make a decision whether you will keep on dating this person or whether you might marry this person or not. You might need to make that decision. You may want to make that decision who you will marry if, in fact, you will. I remember back in many years ago when my wife Debbie and I were dating, and I remember at one point actually telling her that she couldn't chase boys all her life. What a silly thing to say. But it wasn't a way of saying, make a decision. Am I your guy or not? Or you may in fact have a car that you've had for some time and it's starting to wear out, and it's costing you more and more to repair it all the time. Somewhere along the way you make that decision. Will you keep on repairing this one, or are you going to buy something different? So here in this passage we have the choice that we have to make. We have the wide gate to start with. And verse 13, this is the gate that leads to a life lived for self. This is the gate through which we, by default, walk through. It's like following the surge of the crowd. We follow the surge of the crowd through this gate. It's like if you're at a hockey game or at a football game prior to COVID-19 and all the restrictions. But you're at this game and this crowd, the game is over, and so you follow the surge of the crowd as you leave the arena or the stadium. You follow the surge out. And it's that kind of a picture of following the crowd through this wide gate. I remember back in 1996, I had the privilege of going to the Promise Keepers Clergy Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And I arrived there, and I didn't know anybody else, at least not that I was aware of when I was there. At least I didn't meet them. And we had 42,000 pastors that met in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta. And I was staying in a hotel some distance away in the north part of the city. And fortunately, I found a couple other pastors that were staying in the same hotel that were from Maryland, and one of them had a car. And so he drove us to the Georgia Dome each day that we went. But on the last day, they had to leave early. And so I had to make my way by myself. And so I found the subway, and I believe somebody went with me in the subway to go to the Georgia Dome. We took the subway down to downtown, and then we found the right way to get out and then walked over to the Georgia Dome. And there was quite a crowd walking from the subway to the Georgia Dome. When the evening was done, and it was evening, then it was time for me to go back, and I thought, well, I'm just going to follow the crowd back to the subway, and then I will find my way and make my way back home, and all will be well. So I just followed the surge of the crowd out of the Georgia Dome, and this whole crowd is walking down the street and down in a certain direction, and I just kind of followed along, not really paying attention where we were going, just expecting to get to the subway. And all of a sudden I realized that the crowd was diminishing and people were disappearing, and all of a sudden I found myself all alone downtown Atlanta. What had happened is instead of this crowd going to the subway, they were going to the hotels that were downtown. So by following the crowd, here I was downtown Atlanta on a Friday night approaching midnight in a place that I thought, I really shouldn't be here all by myself. Nonetheless, the Lord was with me, and I made my way to the subway eventually and got back safely. But this is the picture of walking through the wide gate as we follow the crowd. No decision means entering this gate. Choosing not to enter the narrow gate means entering through this wide gate. But in contrast to the wide gate, there is the narrow gate that Jesus talks about. And here we have to make a conscious choice to enter this gate. By choosing to enter this gate means making a choice to give our lives to Jesus Christ and to follow him. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the gate," or the door. In John 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is through Jesus Christ that we enter this narrow gate. Now, we have different terms that we use in our Christian circles at times. We talk about accepting Christ. We talk about giving our heart to him. We talk about inviting Christ into our heart. We talk about being saved. We talk about becoming a Christian. But all of those essentially mean and talk about trusting Jesus Christ and not ourselves for our eternal salvation, for our eternal hope. It talks about surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ and allowing him to be in charge or the Lord of our lives. Now, entering this gate is not simply saying a magical prayer, but it actually means to live a life lived for Christ. A life of following Jesus is what Jesus is talking about. It means having our lives changed. In verses 15 through 20, Jesus talks about lives that are changed. It's not just what you say, but actually having changed lives. He says, "By their fruit, you will recognize them." And it also means more than just calling him Lord. In verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And so it means living by it. It means living it out in our lives, allowing Christ, in fact, to be the Lord of our life. And it means more than just working for the Lord. In verses 22 and 23, Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And so it means that we need to have a trust relationship with Jesus, to trust Jesus Christ and not our own works, our own efforts for our eternal salvation. That's what it means to enter into the narrow gate. So how many people enter through these gates? Well, Jesus said that many are the ones who enter the wide gate. This is the gate that we enter by default. And he said that it is few that find and enter the narrow gate. Now, why is it that there are just a few? Well, for one, for some people, it just seems to be too simple. It seems to be too simple that, in fact, Jesus Christ paid the price for me, and I just need to respond to him and put my faith and trust in him, and that means that I can have life. There's got to be more, something complicated to this. It's too simple for some. For some people, they cannot accept Jesus Christ's forgiveness without somehow being punished or paying for the sins themselves, feeling that they have to somehow pay for this themselves. Others do not want to leave the comfort and the pleasure of the wide road. Others simply do not know that the narrow gate even exists and how to enter into it. And some people don't want to give control of their lives to anyone. They want to keep control themselves. And then there are some people that cannot find this narrow gate because of all the stuff that we as the church have put around it, that people find hard to find the way to actually get in. You see, Jesus Christ has called us as his followers. He has commissioned us to be involved in inviting people to enter into the narrow gate. He's actually given us a responsibility to show them and to tell them. And to not only do this to people in developing countries, but to do that in our own country, even in our own community. And it makes me ask the question, makes me wonder, how many times have you and I explained to somebody how they can enter the narrow gate? In our lifetime, how many? You see, like Jesus, we need to be about our Father's business. And so we have two gates, the wide gate and the narrow gate. But it doesn't end there, because these gates lead to a road beyond each gate. And so Jesus talks about the two different roads. He talks about the broad road, the wide road. This is the life that is beyond the broad gate. We find this wide road, and where does it lead? And Jesus talks about this road that many are on, leads to destruction. It not only leads to destruction in terms of ruined lives, although that often happens as well, but it leads to what the Bible talks about, hell. Eternal life separated from God. And it talks about it as a place of eternal torment. Oh, it's something that is so hard for us to wrap our head around and even want to think about. Jesus, in another case, talks about the rich man and Lazarus, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man has lived for life for self, and he finds himself now in the life beyond, where he is in a place of torment. And somehow in this parable, he can look across this great chasm, and he can see Lazarus, who is in paradise in Abraham's bosom, as it talks about. And so he sees where Lazarus is and where he is, and he is in anguish. And he says, if only somebody could go back and warn my brothers. If somebody could only warn my brothers so they can make the right choices, they don't have to end up where I am, that they can be where Lazarus is. And I wonder, do we really realize where the broad road leads? We see so many people around us unheedingly walk, some even running down this road that Jesus was talking about, this wide road. Oh, that we would catch a glimpse of the destiny of those who do not know Jesus Christ. Jesus talks about the fact that the destiny of this broad road is destruction. May God give us a burden and a passion for people around us who are on this road with that destiny. May we never get sidetracked to simply having an us thinking about the church. It's all about us. So what is this broad road like? Well, it is a life, really a life for self. It is living for self rather than for God. It is living with me as my own rescuer, or trying to be, as it were. It is a life without Jesus. But again, in contrast, we find the narrow road. The narrow road, which is beyond the narrow gate, having entered through that narrow gate of walking this narrow road. And where does this road lead? What Jesus talks about, this road, in verse 14, it leads to life. It is a life of true purpose and fulfillment in the life here and now. But it is so much more beyond that. It leads to a life of eternal life with eternal bliss in the future. Joy in the presence of God forever. And all the picture that we have in the Bible of this eternal life forever in God's presence as we enter through that narrow gate and follow the destiny of that narrow road. A life where there is no more pain, no more heartaches, no more suffering, no more arthritis, no more cancer, no more glasses to wear, no death, no debts, no taxes, no pandemics, no self-isolating. You see, the narrow road leads to eternal life so good that we cannot as humans comprehend it. It talks about a place where the streets are paved with gold, and that's kind of ironic because we talk about gold as being one of the most precious things here on earth. And yet in heaven, as it talks about, it's used for pavement. What a contrast to the destiny of the broad road. And what is the narrow road like? Well, this narrow road is also very different in that it is not an easy road. It is a life of discipline. It is a life of discipleship. It is a life of obedience. Jesus tells us what it means to walk this narrow road in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Where Jesus is teaching, and he said, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in an exchange for his soul?'" You see, to be a disciple of Jesus says we need to be willing to give up life of self for Jesus Christ. And it might mean giving up some of those easy things that we might want in our lives to do what God wants us to do. This may mean giving up some things that we love to hang on to here on this earth. For some people, it may mean giving up what they perceive as their idea of financial success. For some people, it may mean giving up some of the habits that they have. For some people, it may mean giving up being close to family to go to where God might call them, as God is calling them to make a difference in this world, a life beyond self in his radical kingdom. For some people, it may mean giving up some of the luxuries that they might want to enjoy in order to give to the poor or those that are in need. Some people may need to give up some of their friends to pursue what God wants them to do. For some people, it may even mean being willing to give up their health, where they may be called to go and touch the lives of people who are facing disease and difficulty as they serve, and they may be at risk as they go. For some people, it may mean risking a friendship by talking to them about the way of Jesus. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 and following, it tells us large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and he was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him and send a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace? In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is what Jesus said. And so we need to commit ourselves completely to him. Jesus never said that it would be easy, but that it would be worthwhile. Now, it's important for us to note, as we approach this and as we think about this, that we do not need to take this road on our own. You see, God has given us, Jesus Christ sent us his Holy Spirit, that he would guide us, that he would empower us, that he would teach us, that he would strengthen us, and he would encourage us and give us what we need to live this life to follow him. And he has also placed us within his body so that we have other fellow believers who are there to walk this journey together, to support and encourage one another along the way. But it is a choice that we need to make. The choice is ours. Which gate will we enter? You see, we can enter the narrow gate even after we have been on that wide road for a while. We may, in fact, have many opportunities to enter the narrow gate, but we do not know if we will ever get another one. And once we're on the narrow road, we need to keep going. Don't give up. Don't quit. We don't know how far we have yet to go until we reach the conclusion, we reach the end, the destiny that he has for us. But we do know that he didn't bring us this far to leave us. Now, there might be some of you here virtually where you are joining us today, watching or listening, who've never entered the narrow gate. You've never started that journey of the narrow road. You see, Jesus Christ is inviting you to come follow him. Why not enter that narrow gate even today? I'm going to invite you just where you are in your home, wherever you are, just to close your eyes and bow your head so that you can just, between you and God, just take that time. And I invite you that if you are at a place where you are prepared, even though you might be somewhat afraid or uncertain, but you're prepared to say, yes, I want to enter through, I want to walk through that narrow gate. I want to begin the journey on that narrow road. Then I'm going to invite you in your heart to pray this prayer along with me. It's not the words that are some magical formula, but they express the essence of what we talk about beginning that journey of following Jesus into a life beyond. And just where you are, I just invite you to express before the Lord Jesus, just say, "Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my life of self and sin. I now invite you to come into my heart and life, and I want to trust you as my Savior and follow you as my Lord." I'm going to invite you to join me as we pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for life and opportunity that you give to us. Thank you that you have made the way possible for us to experience eternal life with you and a life changed here and now today. Lord, we submit ourselves to you. Lord, this morning, as there are those that are at the place of where they're ready to say yes to you, just in these moments, Lord, as they come before you, we say, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that we are sinners. And that we need your forgiveness. We believe that you died for our sins. And Lord, even now we want to turn from a life of self and sin and turn to follow you. We invite you to come into our heart and life. We want to begin that journey. We trust you as our Savior, and we follow you as Lord. Thank you for life that you give and change that you bring in our lives as we journey your way. Thank you for your word that you've given to us that we can learn from it, to learn about you. Lord, so often we are tempted to want to make this whole thing up ourselves, but knowing that we are not God, that we are not able to create our own destiny. It's only as we follow you. And so this morning we pray for those that have turned their life to you even today, as they begin that journey, that you would give them strength and courage, and those that would come alongside them to help to build them up and to walk that journey with them. And Lord, I pray that you would use us to touch the lives of people around us, that as we walk life as in this radical kingdom Christ has called us to, that we would see many others that would join us along the way, so that in eternity, that as we rejoice together, there will be many more that will be celebrating together with us in eternity with you. Thank you. Thank you for who you are. And now we trust again and trust our lives to you and our journey to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.